question won't be yet. Is there any
honorable proposal?
I nominate the name of Honorable Professor.
Thank you, Honorable Professor. Is there a second for that nomination? Honorable Kosa? Honorable Kosa?
Yes, I second that nomination. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Professor. Are there further nominations for acting chairperson? The absence of which I call upon Honorable Makota to join Chief of Higher Education at the chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable member from the Chubut Polong Committee and a delegation from Department of Basic Education and from the Department of Higher Education and Training led by the chairperson, Honorable Kosa and his colleagues. I would like to greet you and welcome you to this important meeting of today. Also deserving our welcome is the two departments, the official from the two departments of basic education and higher education and training. We also would like to welcome the stakeholders that are present in this meeting, members of the media, and the officials from the community sessions. I thank you very much for offering me this opportunity to run this meeting on behalf of the chairperson, Honorable Gina, who is currently caught up in at the airport due to flight challenges. In opening this meeting, I would like to indicate that this is a call-up meeting that emanates from the engagement that we have had with the Portfolio Committee of Basic Education. And it is our assumption that even in higher education, similar engagement has taken place regarding the issue of initial teacher education, the batch thereof, and whatever that affects that area of work. In the previous week, the Portfolio Committee of Basic Education received a report and a briefing from Dr. Taylor related to the NILU which summarized a lot of issues, key challenges and successes that we have in our education at the present moment. Among those, there are several inadequacies that were highlighted. And I think those are the issues that we have always raised with the department from the portfolio committee of basic education, particularly around the issue of pedagogic and content, knowledge and competencies of teachers as they impart the useful information of teaching our children, making sure that our children are able to excel in the basic arts, the three arts that are there, that are required, that we always talk about in the media and elsewhere, which is reading, writing, and arithmetic. As a committee, we have made our own observations, and I think part of those observations, we would appreciate it in this briefing, the joint report and the two departments, that we hope that we will be able to allay our fears with regard to those observations. You will be able to give us a clear program of action and way forward as to how you intend to resolve those challenges that we are having. We, as a committee for basic education, have agreed that there should be engagements that are taking place in order to address all those things that are identified as challenges. One of the areas of engagement is to ensure that all stakeholders come into the table and have an engagement to ensure that we are able to rectify the inadequacies. The chairperson of the Department of the Portfolio Committee for Higher Education is going to be co-chairing with me. But before that, what we are going to do is to give over to the two departments, to each department indication that is a briefing on what is happening with regards to issues for improving initial teacher education in the different areas where they are concerned. Before we do that, we would also like to take this opportunity to welcome the Deputy Minister for Basic Education. I'm not sure whether the chairperson has any indication of the whereabouts of his peers from higher education and training, because I think this is a critical matter that needs the attention of, if not the minister, the Deputy Minister must be here. So before I give over to the team to give us a presentation, maybe you can highlight
Let me indicate that we have received apologies from the two ministers due to their prior commitments. But I hope you accept, take note and accept the apologies. And also, Honorable Nabakekana is on his way. He's also trapped in the traffic. But he's arriving any time now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Coach. Before we proceed, I think it will be appropriate if you can get a physical input from our Deputy Minister just to open the meeting. You will give us just a second. And then we'll proceed to the two departments on the meeting. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Co-Chairs, and good morning, colleagues. Officials from the two departments of basic education and higher education, respectively. Chairperson's
Thank you for the opportunity. And let me also indicate that I had spoken to my colleague, Deputy Minister for Education and Training, and he would certainly have been here had it not been for his prior commitment, which is very, very early in KwaZulu-Natal. So please accept the apology. My minister is in Paris at the UNESCO meeting and unfortunately would not be able to attend. Chair, you probably are aware of the fact that we had a quite a tragic event where the Minister of Defense had lost her son. She was going to be at a committee meeting today, she was going to coordinate for the appointment of a senior official. As a result of this event, I've been urged to assist the committee in forming a quorum, and with the leave of yourself to chair, if you can hear after my presentation, if I take leave, I know my department is very well represented, so is higher education and training. So I thought I'd just seek permission to leave immediately hereafter because the process with candidates from different places and you arrive there and certainly they were informing. Because of the importance of this meeting, I sought their permission to come here first and just make a very, very brief input. Let me at the outset say, and in fact we celebrate the fact that the working relationship between the two departments, higher education and training and basic education, is extremely good and solid. They are the continuous consultation between departments in terms of various elements, and education being a continuum in such is critical that the two departments work together. Secondly, at the political level, there's also wonderful cooperation and collaboration between the ministers of higher education and training and basic education. And that all goes very, very well in terms of the challenges that we face as a system of education. So when the presentation takes place, we all see where they come from, basic education or higher education and training, as a result of this collaborative work between the departments. Today's presentation, Chair, would be limited to the important element of initial training, your pre-set, rather than your intake training. And I just want you to be conscious, at least be conscious of the fact that it doesn't cover the entire spectrum of professional development, because continuous professional development is critical and necessary, and I do believe that the committee should be given an opportunity at a later stage to look at those programs in detail. The concerns that have been raised by the committee in the past and that have been conveyed to both higher education and training as well as basic education and political principles was the importance of practical training, the importance of quality assurance across the system, in other words, wherever it's being offered, in fact, there are 19 institutions of higher learning that offer it, the importance of mentoring and coaching among the other elements, and the importance of basically having the two departments steer the process, recognizing that institutions of higher learning are autonomous, in a sense that we do not want to be insisted, but at the same time, we would have to direct the policy in such a way that it's able to do so. I do not want to steal the thunder of the officials who are very keen and experienced in this regard, but I would imagine that when they make the presentation, they will draw your attention to the fact that whatever occurs not as a result of one department, but as a result of collaborative exercise between higher education and training, the Department of Basic Education, the teachers that are faculty, because they too render services in terms of your pre-set training, the Palestinian Council of Educators, who are veterans in terms of ensuring it, and higher education, the HQT, Higher Education Quality Council, which has to authenticate, verify, and credit the reports that are being offered. So we also take it upon ourselves as local partners to ensure that there is consultation with the teacher unions when these decisions are taken. I think we must understand the context of the presentation that you're going to receive within the framework of the integrated quality, integrated professional development framework. And what's very interesting is South Africa is perhaps far ahead of even developed countries in having arranged such an integrated framework where all stakeholders, from institutions of higher learning, labor unions, the various departments have been involved in developing a program that does look at not only pre-set or your initial training, but also your in-set, your post-qualification training. And I think that framework is very, very useful, and what is achieved in terms of that particular exercise is the absolutely meaningful and practical role that unions play in terms of professional development. So these are just my open statements, and I do believe that this conversation should be continuous. because we have to continuously review what we do. I would hope that the representatives who speak about this matter would speak to also, amongst other things, the importance of ICT in the 21st century in terms of teacher development, whether it's in-depth or whether it's pre-set or in-depth. That's very, very critical. The importance of collaboration with the school in terms of practical training that could be offered, and some kind of innovative programs that they might want to reflect on. I do believe that from where we were 5 years ago, there has been significant progress. I don't think the task has been completed, but I do believe that we are on course in terms of ensuring that one of the critical pillars of quality education, that is professional development, education, teacher development, is supported by all stakeholders. So these are indeed my opening remarks, and I would like to thank both the officials from the Higher Education Training as well as the Department of Basic Education for making themselves available. Should we finish earlier than envisaged, I assure you that I will come back and listen to the views of the members as we deliberate with the members. Thank you very, very much for the time opportunity.
And Christian, I think, other input, and I think your leave of absence is granted. We hope that this meeting ends much more quicker than expected, so that you are able to join us and encourage engagement. Thank you so much. I would now take this opportunity to give the Department of Basic Education to do the presentation. Immediately after that, we'll take the next presentation so that you make within the confines of time. Thank you very much. Over to you, Department of Basic Education. Thank you. Maybe it will be appropriate for you to introduce yourself and so that the members from other communities are able to know you better. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm just starting with the introduction first. I'm co-chair. I'm Vivian Cuddleser. I'm a Director General of the Office of the Teacher of Basic Education. And I would also like to send a call of apologies to RPG, who is also attending the general conference. I'm going to hand over to introduce myself, but I should say that we're doing a joint presentation, so we will do channeling presentation, but a single jointly determined presentation for the two presentations.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Gerrit Boutier. I'm the Director for Initial Teacher Education in the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members. My name is Sarah Braddock. I'm the Dean of the Faculty of Education at the University of Johannesburg, but I'm today here in my capacity as Chair of the Education Deans Forum.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Lucy Green from the Department of Higher Education and Training in the University Education Branch, particularly from the Chief Director of Teaching and Learning Development.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. What we will be doing first is we'll be starting off with a presentation to look at the information that I've been taking to include in initial teacher education. But I think that it would also be the place to also welcome that we are part of our delegation, because we certainly look at this from the vantage point of both basic education and higher education, but also in terms of our support that we get from the education lead for them and their critical role in ensuring that initial teacher education is indeed relevant and related also to the preparation of teachers for the world of work. We also know that in a number of our committee issues, certainly with basic education for quality, we've been confronted with the very real question of teacher competency and teacher professionalism. We do not see as a joint delegation every day that the issue of professionalism can be de-linked from that of preparation of teachers for the field that they will be entering, both on the basis of their curriculum competence, but also in terms of the broader set of measures that should be employed in the field of work, in the classroom, that takes you miles away from what you've been prepared for in the world of lecture theatres and universities. We know that the challenges of the sector are huge and many, and that the work that we do for ensure teacher preparation, that work is critical in terms of preparing
individuals that have come from the school system themselves for that particular set of challenges. We also know that the joint efforts of the Departments of Basic Education and Higher Education and Training have involved a number of other stakeholders, and I think the colleagues will be referring to those particular platforms over the last 20 odd years that have been used to assess both the needs of adequate teacher preparation, but also to review those critical concerns of why teachers have failed in many instances to live up to the expectations of the sector. We say so advisory because we know that our efforts have been taken both in consultation with especially the organized teaching professions who have been part of the teacher unit collaboration with the Department of Basic Education to ensure that the work that is done in support of the efforts of the department, that work is also clear and can stand up to scrutiny in terms of the deliverables that have been set out in each of the annual performance plans and strategic plans of the two departments. So I'm not going to delay the introduction. I think the minister has set the scene for the broader context of which this presentation has been made. And I think because of the limited time that we have now for the committee book, that we will go through this joint presentation as swiftly as possible and as comprehensively as possible. So I'm going to now call on Dr. Ricky Dean to lead the presentation so that we can hand over to the other members of the group for the presentation. Thank you.
We have prepared this presentation jointly as an indication of the collaboration that we have been seeking to establish over the last 5 years in terms of our funding systems and initial teacher education in the country. I thought to start off by just setting the scene in terms of reminding the members about the teacher education landscape in the country. And what makes up at present. So teacher education is a national competence funded and regulated through the Department of Higher Education and Training. It can only be offered by accredited higher education institutions in the country. And this would include our public universities, the range of the universities, as well as private higher education institutions. Teaching is positioned as a graduate career in that all our new teachers have to have a degree, either a Bachelor of Education degree, which is a 4-year qualification if you study full time, 480 credits, or an undergraduate general bachelor's degree, so for example a Bachelor of Science, followed by a postgraduate certificate in education, which is a category qualification that focuses on the education component as an initial preparation for teaching. So those are the two routes that all our teachers come through currently in the country. In the qualifications that are offered, teachers can specialize, we're focusing specifically on school teachers here, they can specialize as foundation phase teachers, intermediate phase teachers, senior phase, and SET teachers. So they choose a specialization. And if they're teaching at the higher level, so for example, intermediate phase, senior phase, and SET, then in addition to choosing a phase specialization, they would choose subject specialization. The expectation at the senior phase SET is that each teacher comes out with a degree three specialization. At least one senior phase and 2 SET, or 2 senior phase and 1 SET. In the intermediate phase at present, the expectation is that teachers will come out with 4 teaching subject specializations across the intermediate phase curriculum, and 4 foundation phase teachers will be prepared to teach the entire curriculum in the foundation phase. At present, 23 universities of the 26 in the country offer initial teacher education. And exceptions are Mangosuthu University of Technology, Bauer University of Technology, and the new University of Health Sciences, the Stockholm MacArthur Health Sciences University. Bauer University of Technology is coming on board in terms of teacher education. They have currently submitted a program to the Council on Higher Education for accreditation, and is going through those processes. It's likely they will be offering a Bachelor of Education in 2017 if they meet the accreditation requirements. We should also note that there's increased private involvement in teacher education. And I'll show you a list of private higher education institutions that are becoming involved. legislation in the country does allow it, provided the private higher education institution meet the accreditation and evaluation requirements in the country. The Council on Higher Education is the main custodian of our quality assurance in higher education, and that includes teacher education. So all teacher education institutions that are offered by universities or by private higher education institutions would first need to be accredited by the Council on Higher Education before the offer can take place. There's a list of the private higher education institutions that are becoming involved in initial teacher education. Of those, the first one, ERA, the third one, Center for Creative Education, and Kimberley Institute for Teacher Education are already offering teacher education programs. So the three that are already offering. The rest are in the process of making various applications to offer teacher education qualifications. The last one, Stan Private Higher Education Institution is also currently offering them. The last one, the Independent Institute of Education, is offering but offers a UNITA program at present. However, it is becoming registered in its own right as a private higher education institution and has submitted programs of its own that are currently being considered by the various accreditation and registration processes. It is an issue that as we move forward, we have to keep our eye on the role of private higher education institutions in teacher education, particularly in relation to issues of quality. And we need to find good structures to bring private higher education institutions into the bigger landscape of teacher education so that they don't undersize, but rather participate within. We thought we'd also just clarify the roles of the different departments in relation to initial teacher education. So the Department of Higher Education training has specific roles, so does the Department of Basic Education, so does the Education Dean Forum, so does PhD, and so on. However, there is strong collaboration between all departments on matters of initial teacher education, and we will point later to how we collaborate around these areas. But the DHT specifically leads on the following function. It funds teacher education. Through the first, in relation to both the funds that are received from CEDAW as part of the allocation to higher education. So teacher education is funded as part of the higher education funding mechanism in the country. The Department of Higher Education and Training currently also leads on the development of policies on teacher education qualification. And I'll point to a specific policy that we've recently put in response to strengthen teacher education. Besides putting policy in place, it carries out the function of supporting and monitoring the implementation of those policies. And then a key function is to support capacity development at universities in order to more effectively deliver teacher education. Mr. Kutsi is going to talk to the roles of the EDE.
Thank you, Honourable Chief and Honourable Members. The Department of Basic Education is responsible for developing an understanding of teacher demand and supply. I think in the last few years we have become aware of three reports that assisted in this. One report on teacher demand and supply comes from the Center for Development, Democracy, Development and Enterprises. One of this comes from the Department of Higher Education and Training, and one from the University of Stellenbosch. And all those reports is assisting us in developing this understanding of teacher demand and supply. The DVE is also responsible to promote teaching as a profession of choice amongst young people, to recruit appropriate candidates into teaching, and to ensure the proper utilization and placement of teachers, and to offer induction programs for newly appointed teachers. I'm going to hand over to Professor Rabbit on the roles of education teams for.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. The Italian Deans Forum is a voluntary association of all deans or heads of school of education involved in teacher education. And it is done under the auspices of the University of South Africa, previously called HESA, and its role is briefly to identify, firstly, challenges in the education system and discuss ways in which to address these. We share good practice, and we promote dialogue and engagement with policymakers and relevant research.
It is important to mention that we have a very good working relationship with both the Department of Basic Education and the Department of Higher Education and Training. In fact, they are involved in every single Dean's Forum meeting where we then discuss issues of mutual interest. The Education Dean's Forum is also represented on the National Teacher Education Development Committee as one of the role players in teacher education and development. As I said, the Dean's Forum is a voluntary association. So we don't make policies, we try to support each other, we try to, through the dialogue and the discussions that we have, to increase quality in teacher education. But we don't have any formal role in the sense that we can make decisions that will be binding for all universities. Each university has autonomy in terms of how it offers teacher education, but taking into consideration that there are various policies with regard to the teacher education qualifications that we must offer, and as was indicated by Dr. Green, all our teacher education qualifications must be accredited by the Council for Higher Education.
The chairperson made reference to a program of action around strengthening initial teacher education. And maybe just to say right up front that there is a program of action in place already. So the issue of strengthening initial teacher education has been an ongoing process. Since at least 2007, where an intense gaze was placed on what's happening in teacher education, through a ministerial cost team that reported in 2007 and resulted in the National Policy Framework for Teacher Education and Development. The CAG also conducted quite an intensive review of teacher education program in 2007, and it published a report that came out in 2010 that also pointed to issues that needed to be addressed. Colleagues will also be aware that we had a massive teacher education summit in 2009, Teacher Education and Development Summit, which was represented by the whole range of stakeholders in teacher education and development. And that summit then drives an integrated strategic planning framework for teacher education and development, which Minister Kurti made reference to early on in his opening comments. And that framework document that really has been guiding our combined efforts around strengthening teacher education and development in the country since then. So if we hold in and focus on quality in initial teacher education, what have we been trying to do over the last 6-7 years since 2007-2008? We have been promoting quality in teacher education through the utilization of a number of instruments or mechanisms. One important one has been policy. Oversight has been another. Collaboration has been an important element. Infrastructure development, supporting universities around infrastructure, dedicated infrastructure for teacher education, dialogue and community building, research and programs. We make specific reference to two programs that we implemented over the last year since 2007, the Shark Advisory Scheme and the Strengthening Foundation for Teacher Education Program. If I speak specifically to the issue of policy, members might be aware that in 2011, the Department of Higher Education and Training created a policy on minimum requirements for teacher education qualifications, which is colloquially referred to in the sector as Mr. Tech. I think this has been a very important brief one to the issue of teacher education quality, and probably not as widely recognized as it should be at the point in time. What this policy does do, and picks up on what Ms. Carlson said about the issue of teacher professionalism, that teacher professionalism is embedded. If we think about teaching as a profession, it has to have a knowledge base. And that knowledge base is what gives teachers authority to act in the classroom and other settings. So the policy works from that premise, that we have to have teachers that are strong in knowledge and strong in practice. So those are the two dimensions that the policy emphasizes. And there's a whole range of standards that the policy puts in place in relation to teacher education qualification programs that must lead to quality. All universities have to recurriculate their programs in order to respond to the standards set in that policy. So it's a national standard set, minimum requirements, and we're having new programs coming into place in the country. The policy has also been in direct response the issues that the CIHE picked up in its review of CJ discussion, particularly issues around fragmentation and the lack of cohesive threads that tie teacher education programs together. So universities, some of them are new, already in place and being offered. So for example, I thought you would talk to the University of Genesis program that's already recurriculated and being offered as part of this. Some universities are still in the recurriculation process. We do think that the teachers that emerge out of these qualification programs are going to be stronger in terms of their knowledge base as well as in terms of their practice. For example, if you think of the issue of practice, the policy specifically puts in place guidelines around how teaching practice must occur, both in terms of the policy of teaching practice, the role that the university must play in monitoring and oversight, as well as the time spent in school, and those are requirements that all universities would have to adhere to. The policy specifically requires an integration between teaching practice and teacher education that happens at the university, rather than the disjunction that was in place at a number of institutions in the past, where we had theoretical development for 3 years in some of the universities, and in 1 year of teaching practice that really integrate with each other. The policy specifically requires that teaching practice happens from year one to year four, with particular times in each year and an integration between the two. So we are, I think that the policy is one of the most important reasons that has recently been put in place to address the issue of teacher education policy. What we have to do is now set teachers coming out of the new qualification in terms of the competences that they bring to the classroom. Also, there are several mechanisms regarding teacher education oversight in the country. The first level is what happens at the Department of Higher Education and Training. So before qualifications even go to the CHE, they need to be submitted to the Department of Higher Education and Training for two reasons. So one is for consideration for inclusion on the PQM, the program qualification mix of the university, so that the program will be funded. The second and more important project is an evaluation of the program for compliance with the policy that I've just indicated, the policy and minimum requirements for teacher education qualifications. So we will check through the program to ensure that the program, at least at the submission level, is adhering to the standards that are published in the policy. So we put in place a committee, a teacher education program evaluation committee, TEC, which is represented by DACT, DBE, FAPE, and the ETV CETA. And it's this committee that reviews these qualifications at the first level. Once these qualification programs have been approved at the level of the department, the qualifications then need to be submitted to the Council on Higher Education, specifically to the ATQC, the Higher Education Qualification Committee. And that committee then does an intense review of the program following 9 criteria. We include looking at policy that expands far beyond that. So, for example, to the capacity of the institution to offer the program. So, for example, to the staffing that the institution has to offer that program. So, for example, the infrastructure, a whole range of criteria. That is a peer review process. So the CHE uses peers in the field to review programs, and the committee then has an oversight review of that. Finally, if programs have been recognized by the DHET and have been accredited by the CHE, they have to be registered by SEWA and placed on the National Qualification Database. So that's the kind of process that evaluation of teacher education qualifications goes through, quite a rigorous process. And in addition to this, the CHE, as indicated, has a role for quality assurance. So it will also look at delivery, right, not just at the program submission. And it conducts regular audits of the higher education place, so for example, teacher education audit of 2007. It would conduct site visits to institutions to assess program delivery on the ground. And it is the organization to which we all have recourse if we have issues with specific offerings at specific institutions. So if there are any concerns around the University of Johannesburg offering of the foundation site program and product of that, we can ask the PhD directly to investigate the quality of the living at that institution. And that report is not just open to the department, it's open to schools, to whoever has concerns about quality in teacher education. So we have these mechanisms in place in relation to teacher education oversight in the country. Okay, you might have missed me talking about space. And this is indeed a gap. So SAFE is the professional organization, the South African Council of Education, for teachers in the country. However, it hasn't really registered itself as a professional body recognized by SAFE. And it doesn't really have the power to designate as a profession, so to designate someone as a teacher. Its key functions up to now have been registration, oversight on the code of ethics, professional ethics, and it's been increasingly over the last few years played a role in the continuing professional development management system, the professional development of teachers and assistants to monitor that. There are increasing calls and I think an increasing awareness by SAFE itself that it has to play a much stronger role in terms of professionalism in the sector, including taking on the role of a professional body, as other professional bodies do, like, for example, the Engineering Council of South Africa, or the Health Council, or the whole range of councils and other professions. So SAFE is busy positioning themselves with the support of the department and a whole range of other role players to play this role. I think what you see in the future is a strengthened SAFE, also having a strong oversight role on initial teacher education, particularly in relation to the issue of standards for teaching. What do you mean by beginner teacher standards? What do you mean by teacher standards at the intermediate level? And what do you mean by advanced leadership teacher standards? SAFE is positioning itself to develop and put those in place and then monitor adherence to them. And I think collectively as a country we have to look for ways to support SAFE in this particular function. I'm going to rush through a few of the slides because I think time is running out. The issue of collaboration is an important one, and we put in place a whole range of structures. The National Teacher Education Development Committee is a particular structure that has the role of overseeing the implementation of the integrated strategic planning framework for teacher education and development. At the provincial level, we put in place in each province a provincial teacher education and development committee, which brings into collaboration the organizations in each province that have a stake in teacher education. So it would be the provincial department, it would be the universities in the province, it would be the ECDC representatives in their province, it would be the state representatives in their province, and it would be the teacher union. These meetings happen twice a year, and their function is to identify what the blockages and challenges are in relation to teacher education and how we jointly need to work together to address them.
To add briefly to what I said before, in terms of quality and professionalism, to give you an example of some of the topics that we have been exploring in the Education Dean's Forum the last year, one that is a burning issue for all of us is practice teaching, or how to ensure that our students have sufficient work-based learning, work-integrated learning that is quality to prepare them for the teaching profession. So we have local, we have discussions on these specifically. So I'm not going to add, but I'm going to ask you later in the conversation if you would like to know more about this, we can talk about this.
Thanks, Ross. I pointed to the issue of addressing teacher education quality through better infrastructure, the belief being that if we have adequate teaching venues, we have well-equipped teaching venues, that better teacher education can take better university. So the DHET has invested specifically in teacher education over the last year since 2007 to the tune of $1 billion in terms of specific infrastructure development for teacher education. In the last cycle, 2013 to 2014-15, the investment was $662 million, and you can see the universities that benefited from that investment and what's happening at those universities in terms of infrastructure development. specifically for teacher education. So you visit many of our faculties of education at the university today. You see new buildings, new lecture theatres, new labs for teacher education. In the case of the University of Johannesburg, a new teaching school on the Soweto campus that Professor will come to talk a little later. Okay, improving teacher education through dialogue and community building of youth. So this is a regular feature of our work over the last few years, to every year have a series of events that bring the community together to interrogate specific issues. So for example, the 2009 Teacher Development Summit was on, and really the start of this kind of collaboration. In 2012, we had a National Teacher Education Conference. In 2014, a colloquium on the teaching practice components of the initial teacher education program led by the Education Lead Forum. 2014, a symposium on academic depth and rigor, also led by the Education Lead Forum. And in 2015, just this year, in September, a colloquium on teaching practice and teacher professionalism, in which we brought across Linda Darling Hammond from the USA talk to the issue of standards in teaching.
Okay. I just want to request you to try and, you know, fast track the presentation, because I can see that you are running behind time, because plenary is not started at 11, and I would think that members should also engage in the presentation. If you can just help us, because members have received this document a while ago, so it's not your information. Also, just to welcome the chairperson of the Soweto Law Committee, Honorable Jane has arrived. Thank you very much. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, another area was improving teacher education quality through research. I'm not going to go through all the research studies, but just to point out that research is an important area, that this initial teacher education research project that the chairperson alluded to earlier on, and Dr. Nick Taylor's presentation of that earlier meetings of the portfolio committee, is actually a funded project by the department, and is put in place in order to understand what the challenges are that we need to do. So it's actually part of this policy agenda in relation to initial teacher education. I use all the research projects. Just to point into one example of an initial teacher education program that's been put in place to strengthen teacher education. The Strengthening Foundation for Teacher Education Program. So from 2010 to 2015, we've invested $141 million specifically on foundation-based teacher education. We've increased the number of universities offering foundation-based from 13 to 21, specifically with the intention that mother tongue, African language foundation-based teacher education, becomes predominant in many of our institutions. And that is the case in the new programs that are coming through. I leave you to view the other issues around what has been achieved here, and I'm going to ask Mr. Kutia just to briefly to the Fumbu Shaka program as an important initial teacher education program.
Thank you, Dr. Kutia. Honorable members, honorable chairperson, the Department of Basic Education has previously presented at the Basic Education Portfolio Committee the end-to-end solution for the Fumbu Shaka bursary program, which puts at the center the management administration of the bursary program in provinces and down into the district level in order to ensure that the correct students are recruited, that they are indeed being funded as they study through university, and that they are being monitored while they are being studied, while they study, and that they get placed in the schools and in the areas ideally from where they have been recruited to add value to teaching in those areas. Now, the bursary program has made a considerable contribution to improving the attractiveness of teaching as a choice for many South Africans. That is evident through the number of applications that we receive for the bursary program. By the end of 2014, at the end of our advocacy program then, more than 70,000 new applications for the Fundali Shaka bursary program was registered on the application system. The fact that this is a merit-based bursary, in other words, the criteria for awarding the bursary is based on academic performance and based on the needs within the sector, has meant that the caliber of students that enter the initial teacher education program was of a high standard. This is evident through a recent evaluation of the Fundali Shaka bursary program, which indicates that that the throughput of Punjabi Shaka students is higher than that of non-bursary holders that are doing the BA programs at different universities. The value of the Punjabi Shaka bursary fund in 2015 was close to 1 billion rand, so that 991 million. In the current year, the preliminary figures show that we will be have awarded close to 14,000 bursaries to students. An analysis of those bursaries, of those Punjabi Shaka bursaries graduating from the universities where Punjabi Shaka are being offered, shows that more than 36% of bursaries have graduated with mathematics and science as their subject specialization. The recruitment review that specializes in technology, such as mechanical technology, electrical technology, civil technology, and agricultural technology, was strengthened in 2015 in order to ensure that the supply of teachers increased in these areas. And this will continue to be a focus of the Punjab Shaka Bursary Program, especially with the implementation of the technical caps in the sector. Reports from the Department of Higher Education as well as other civil society organizations provide information on the demand for teachers in the basic education sector. I think it's important to note that the Punjabi Shaka Bursary Program is the key vehicle that can be used in the basic education sector to address specific needs where teachers are required. And it's in that regard that we took the decision in 2014 to focus our foundation-based recruitment for 2014 and 2015 on indigenous African languages. We've received a lot of criticism for that, especially from Afrikaans and English-speaking communities. And we would like to give a reassurance, and we have been giving that assurance to all the complaints that we received from stakeholders. But this is not a permanent feature of Punjab Shaka, but it is in the sister sector to offer the incremental introduction of African languages to a sister sector with the provision of foundation based, especially to teach our youngsters in grade R to grade 3 to read, write, and do mathematics in an African language. And some of the graphs that is on the screen show that by far most of our students that are graduating is graduating with Afrikaans and English in the foundation base, and that we need to do take steps in order to ensure that we improve this. Some of the next steps, therefore, that the Department of Basic Education, together with the Department of Higher Education, and with the Education Links Forum, and with the other role players in this regard, is to strengthen and develop professional standards for teachers and school leaders, investment in initial teacher programs offered at universities from the Department of Higher Education will continue, and it will be strengthened to ensure that we enhance the quality of new teacher output from universities. A focus on induction programs for new teachers is already there, and it will be strengthened in 2016. The Department of Basic Education will, at a first step towards induction, introduce an orientation guideline for schools to use order to orientate new teachers as they enter in schools. I think it's also important to note that the evaluation of teachers and school leaders will continue and need to be deepened, as well as the focus on providing quality continuous professional development programs.
Thank you, Mr. Costino. The next series of slides should really aim on the diagram. So, the Department of Higher Education and Training, in partnership with the DBU, will be introducing a new program from this year that focuses on strengthening various aspects of teacher education. So, continuing the work that you've done in foundation phase by extending it to include the whole of primary teacher education. So, we have secured an investment of about 200 million that will be focused on strengthening teacher education for ECD, education development, strengthen primary teacher education and strengthening teacher education for inclusive and special needs. The slides that follow go on to give you some idea of the activity that we will be implementing over the next 5 years in order to strengthen these areas of teaching education. So we'll see that over the next 5 years, our gaze is turning intensely to quality in teaching education. We have addressed the quantity issue. Our supply and demand projections and model, as we have concluded and the report that we constructed, show that we are rapidly closing the teacher supply demand gap. And that by 2019-20, we're actually producing more teachers, slightly more teachers than are needed in the country. The issue is, are those the right kind of teachers with the right kind of specializations and the right kind of competences? And that's where we'll be focusing on in the next 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues, for the presentation. Before I proceed, I had requested the co-chair to proceed with the part of the questions, and she was hinting that I should proceed, which I think in order to stay true to the fact that we are a joint meeting, she was already proceeding. And that's part of the question. So I'll hand over to her. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much for all the presentations by all the stakeholders you presented here this morning on the issue of the initial teacher education. I must say that it was very interesting to hear about what government is doing, already doing, and the role of all the other stakeholders to strengthen the work of the government in this area of work. But then, also to say, honorable members, you have been listening to this interesting presentation, and also what was also giving a hope that there is something that is being done to strengthen initial teacher education. There are programs in place, there is a budget in place, but then I will then open this session to the members to interrogate the presentation. Thank you very much. Honorable member, this is the program I wanted him to proceed with the names. Honorable member, one, are you accepting the approach? Okay. Honorable member, okay, lady number one, madam. Number two, say. Number three, number four, number five, honorable member, Matt. Where's my body? Or six, honorable member, that's my homeboy. Thank you very much. And the honorable chair will come at the end. And you have to have honorable chair on the website. Okay, at the end, okay. In that order, number one, number two, and then three,
madam. Thank you, honorable chairperson. Allow me to thank the presenter the presentation really encouraging as well as discouraging. Why do I say discouraging? You keep on saying all the provinces, all the problems. But looking at the first presentation, not all the provinces are being considered to have this college or to improve the existing college. Looking at your infrastructure improvement that we have said, mostly you focus on area. How can you overpopulate the colleges? And then you come to rural places like Northern Cape, whereas we have existing or the former colleges that are unused. Why did you not consider such universities, I mean colleges and colleges like Asimang that are there to be improved and the infrastructure to be improved in order to accommodate rural area. I was asking my neighbor, is Mumalanga cater to Messi, the afternoon solution used in this university? We don't know that. Like that empty, we were asking each other which place is this that empty for the sun, what does the sun FUN stands for, in order to know where are these. But mostly I noticed that Western Cape and Gauteng are all. Second, my concern is on the private institution. We speak about quality. And you motivate that the private institution will be monitored, will to come on board. Strategies must be used in order to learn how, because private institutions will really interest the institution. And by doing that, we will give them funds, we will support them funds instead of supporting the institutions that will take up for our people on the ground at their place near their home. Because you notice these private institutions are also situated in urban area, under the urban rural area. How can you tell me rules to use such and although less has been said on inclusive education, it is a way to strengthen inclusive education. How? Where? Thank you.
Thank you very much. But then, due to time constraints, may I request members to be straightforward, short, and to the point. But also, if we can combine ourselves to two questions per member, you will be allowed a second round, time allowing. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Over to you, Say.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to object to the way we're truncating this committee meeting, because, you know, this is such a big topic, and it really is so crucial for education that we have teachers who are adequately trained and enough teachers. And to try and collapse this into such a short session, I don't think we're going to get very far. I've got at least 8 questions here, and I'll try and be as succinct as possible, but the fact of the matter is that we can't just, you know, we've spent an hour and 10 minutes going through a presentation that we all got yesterday, which we could have frankly, I mean, we all read it, and we've wasted a lot of time already, so I'm not sure what the solution is there, but I just object to this process.
All right, we take note of your concern, but because now we've got time constraints, it is true that at 11 o'clock we all have what I expected to go to the session. Shall we confine ourselves to two questions per member, and then I will consult and then come back to you on how do we end. Take care of your other questions. Thank you very much. Over to you, sir.
Okay, I'll do my first 2 questions and then hopefully we'll have some more time. Firstly, on the quantity of teachers being trained and the supply and demand. The South African survey of last year said that there were 8,324 teacher vacancies in the Eastern Cape, but only 86 teachers were trained from the Eastern Cape. So in other words, that's the province that has the most vacancies, but the fewest number of teachers graduating. Why is this? Why is the Eastern Cape lag behind the other provinces in this regard, and what's being done about it? Then secondly, on quality, the 2007 SACMEC study, which looked at teacher performance across the continent, asked South African teachers, as well as teachers from other countries, to write a grade 6 math paper. And only 38% of South African teachers passed that paper. And this is something, you know, when I go in my constituency, when I visit schools in Janoon and Joe Slovo, they all say that the best teachers in those schools are actually foreign teachers from other countries on the continent and not South African teachers. And I have a huge problem with trying to keep those teachers, because a lot of them have difficulties with work permits and that kind of thing. But when it comes to the South African teachers, what is being done to really test our teachers to make sure that they are actually competent in teaching, either at the point where they exit the ITE or on an ongoing basis? And what steps should be taken to remove teachers who just absolutely have shown they cannot perform and they cannot teach our children properly? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Number 3.
Thank you, Jess. number of the institutions, including the private one, offering teacher education. Will the output meet the target of the MDP or otherwise, or are we not in future going to experience the shortage of teachers? Secondly, it's maybe just take it as a follow-up to the colleagues engaged with the intake with the lower number of in terms of placement. It's like it's happened in there is a huge difference in terms of Funza Lushaka placement per problem. When you look at that, what causes that? Is there anything that we're trying to do to make the point that it is a balance? Because we have provinces that have got more than 100% placement, with those that are having a mere 20% placement, and those are mostly disadvantaged provinces, like deep rural provinces. And lastly, Chair, is the allocation of Funza Lushaka. It's showing a decline. I don't know whether this decline is caused by we are now getting satisfied, we are having enough teachers, or is because of funding. Why is that type of a decline? Why is that type of a decline?
Thank you very much. Number four.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. One is impressed by the number of boards and councils which are involved in improving the quality of teaching, which is a good thing. But my concern is, if the teacher must interact with all these institutions, will there still be enough time for the teacher to stand before the class? And while quality is very important and is very necessary, the second concern is about the teachers already in the field. How do they catch up with these new newly trained teachers? Is there perhaps an in-service training program to help do this? Then I also look at the Funza Lushaka Bursary, which is a wonderful program, and it seems it's going to produce teachers on a higher level than the ordinary teacher. Now, we hear that there has been criticism from the English and African-speaking community. If we could just get more facts around that criticism, why criticism? And we are told that the answer given is that they mustn't worry because it's not permanent. And why should it not be permanent? If it's a good thing, why doesn't it go on and on? And then, finally, if there is this program with these noble objectives, are there also incentives to encourage people, the prospective teachers, to take up this Funza Lushaka program? Thank you.
Question number five.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Mbaka. Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, a comment. I just want to appreciate the fact that there is, in the diploma program or the degrees program, an ongoing insert. Because for me, that is very important, that a teacher must never lose touch with the classroom. So the program and the inclusiveness, I think, should go well towards realigning the thought processes together with the happenings in the class. The first question is, what is the price of EH today? And do we have a consolidated knowledge of what these universities and universities of technology are supposed to charge, so it can enable the structure of the financing for students not to be depleted by greed, in particular coming from the private sector provider? Two, who is supposed to drive the move to have safe professionals? Who's responsibility?
Honourable Member Mata, if you may stick to that rule. But thanks so much for numbering because you made me to catch you. I've been honest. Thank you very much. Alright, the next one is Mr. Tuela. For the hand up, then it's Mr. Fanival. Ms. Fanival. They're coming there. Remember, I'm guided here. They wrote a list of people who, so now, if they say to me, Ms. Fanival, over to you, Madam.
Honorable Minimum, mind if my neighbor. Now and in the process. shall be very brief. It is indeed a pity that we have a plenary because this is a very important aspect of our portfolio.
I fully agree with you, but let's proceed.
First of all, surely we would like to have a bit more info, and I would refer to assistant teachers, if I may, the old days that are students doing whatever. I think that is crucial to us, and I know that in the Western Cape there are some schools who are using that system very successfully. I would like to raise the issue on one of the slides, it's on our page 12, and that is the role of space. For those of us who sit in DDE, we know how much money goes into space, the role they play, and I put a serious question mark on the complete existence of space. I think that money could be allocated somewhere else in the department, and that role could very well professionally be dealt with. We don't need an extra entity with it, spending millions on empty buildings, so to speak. And then, Chairperson, I would really like to know, because for good reason, my Honourable Basson made reference to rural areas. And across the country, I can speak for Limpopo, we've got several empty previously teacher training colleges. Gavin does very good building, and what would there be a way to go and, utilize that building more efficiently to take this type of training then to the more rural areas as well? And I'm very concerned, I applaud that we want to popularize education or teaching as a career. But I also have a big question mark sometimes on the criteria for allowing people to become teachers. Not everybody that goes study teaching is a passionate teacher, and we have to set some criteria to prevent getting the wrong people to study teaching.
Honourable Member, over to Honourable Member Ngoni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will start by saying this is 1.1. Question 1, 1.1. I will continue.
Remember, you're Honourable Member, so you remain Honourable by doing the right thing.
Chairperson, I wanted to ask the balance between the research and the classroom practice. Because we're on the diploma and the initial degree. Where is the class? Is it on the research or in the classroom situation? Asking that based on, where good teachers who have done well in producing teachers that come in the schools. But a school has to take a long time deducting a teacher from the university. And then in terms of assessment, curriculum, paperwork, monitoring, and lesson planning, and so forth. And the second question is the issue of the spread of this higher education. Are we doing justice? Because we concentrate all higher education to two provinces. Is there any way that you can spread to provinces, Eastern Cape, provinces, and Mpumalanga, and the like? Which also include the issue of vetting the three educators before they get it, because we have these people with a lot of challenges when after completing. We have to still make sure that their behavior is modified.
then the second question is the question of the school practice. When we do this, is it possible that we put more effort in the issue of during this January, March, June, and December holidays, where teachers will come and do the teaching practice?
Thank you so much. I will now request the Honourable Acting Chair to let you come in before the Chairperson, the actual Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just have two questions. The first question relates to the issue of the autonomy of the universities and our desire to have common curriculum for teachers in the country. I want to check if does that assist with the autonomy, and then as the two departments, how do we ensure that we are able to have a leverage in terms of ensuring compliance with the policy guidelines that the universities are at will to implement the curriculum as we have guided them?
Are they really
compliant with that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Over to you.
Okay. Chairperson, my question is on the policy that they have talked about, which are going to be all the universities are here in the room. It's related to what my group has just raised. Again, looking at policy itself and also the programs that various universities are offering, I wish us to see that connection between us to say, maybe we are not clear to know what is intended, because one other thing that you always look at is to say, what is being offered really by these various institutions? Is it assisting our teachers? Initially, I'll make an example. Throughout the country, I've got a challenge of math teachers. These teachers are being interviewed year and day after year. For me, it says maybe there is something wrong from where they are being trained initially, you know. As I say, these students that are coming, the point is to watch and say, how is this going to look at the challenge, the real challenges that are facing the country? The issue of mental science are really. We always commend the institutions, we always have a voice at the end of the year, having a lot of people coming into the system, but we don't see any changes when it comes to that. It's a problem in the country, and I think that is where exactly we need to try to correct that. So I wish to feel really with this program coming in, even the lecturers themselves, as to see what is being done with them, because if they still continue the way that we're not solving the progress that the culture, that our country faces. Secondly, I'm very happy to look at a graph on the indigenous languages offered in various institutions. So I would be happy again to see, to know where these, to say, where are they offered in different languages. But for me, again, it's a chapter. Looking at African and English, those are the most produced language teachers. But if we continue to have such a challenge, more especially on African teaching, African offering teachers. My question may would be, maybe as a country, have we done our analysis to say how much of a need do we have as a country, especially around the teachers offer Africans, because for me it says we have got a certain age, but still we have got such challenges are coming from the Eastern Cape as challenges. So what's the problem? And also with these other indigenous languages that are being offered, I wish to know how much do we need as a country? The percentages that are reflected there, are they assisting us, or are they there's more that you still need to do along the issues of offering those teachers? Couple that with the issue of practice teaching the workplace experience. Really, I think there's so much that you need to do, and I'm not sure whether you can just a guy's job and then the differences and the differences that you see from other institutions, I don't think they talk in language that is
speech, which was should be said in some days after the same speech.
I'd like to thank all the members for the relevant questions. I will now hand over to the Department of Higher Education and Training for responses as you work with your team.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think there's a whole range of questions I'm sure the colleagues can pick up on that I can talk to directly. I think this issue of spreading higher education, in fact, postal education and training more equitably across the country is high on the Department of Higher Education and Training agenda. And there are a range of initiatives in relation to establishing different sites. So when we talk postal education and training, it's inclusive of university education, but also the whole TVET college and community education and training college sector as a component. And there certainly is work being done to expand the sector, including into the rural areas, and through making use of existing facilities that might still be around. Both the former teacher education colleges, as well as other facilities like, for example, defunct Transnet facilities and Department of Public Works facilities. So we work ongoing in terms of understanding what facilities are available and for what purpose they can be used. With relation to the teacher education colleges, we have recently conducted a survey of the current use. We do have that document available, which we could make available to the members. What that survey did show is that the majority of them are actually being used. Those that can feasibly be used in the environment in which they're located. And they're being used for a variety of purposes, education purposes, including as university college campuses, as university campuses, as TVET colleges, as education district and provincial offices, as continuing professional development sites. There are very few of them that are not being currently used. However, a lot of them are not being used fully. So when you go to the site, you might see a part of being used and a part of being derelict. And it's those that don't understand how can we make better use of. With respect to the rural provinces, for example, in Mpopo, the Yani College is a good example. There's a facility that's really well infrastructure-wise and actually not being utilized effectively now. The Department of Education Training has commissioned a feasibility study into the utilization of that campus. It's being undertaken by the University of Pretoria currently, and that feasibility study will guide us on how we use it, including the possibility of establishing teacher education on that campus in collaboration with the university, like the University of Pretoria or the University of Limpopo or the University of Venda. So it's that kind of approach that's being used. When you see you utilize that spread, table, that table is only the current infrastructure allocation in the last 3 years. There was a previous infrastructure allocation to a whole range of other universities. All 23 universities have benefited from education infrastructure. I apologize for the abbreviations there, of the abbreviations of the universities. And they include all the universities in all the provinces. We actually have higher education in every province as a result of the two new universities that just have been recently established, the University of Mpumalanga and the University of Southside University. So there's a university present in every single province at this point in time. The University of Mpumalanga has a rural campus attached to it, the Sibuswa Teacher Education Campus, and we specifically opened that one for teacher education attached to the University of Mpumalanga. It has a Bachelor of Education program that the University of Johannesburg has assisted to speed and put in place. And the University of Mpumalanga is now taking that over. Southside University also has teacher education. Private institutions are not funded to the fiscus in any way. They are private. Some of them are non-profit organizations, like a Center for Creative Education. Others are profit organizations. They don't benefit from any funding from the government, nor do they benefit from full resource capacity allocation. They function as businesses. Largely. The government gave them no oversight on what they charge. They function as a business and attract whoever wants to come into them. The question though on how much the universities charge is an important one. And it's part of the bigger question related to university fee in general that has been very much highlighted over the last 3 weeks through massive protests that we've seen. But you will be aware that the president has put in place task team. Which is elected now to a commission, I believe. And that commission specifically is to investigate the cost drivers in higher education. And education, teacher education would be a part of that. with a view to understanding the match between cost drivers and fees, and if there is a mismatch. I think there is a clear indication in the system that fees have increased enormously as a result of the lowering of funding for higher education institutions. And this I think is at the base of the recent unrest. But I think what we have in place now is a process in which you understand how higher education broadly is being funded and what the needs are in order that they be remediated. The issue of quantity, teacher supply and demand, I think would take up, it might be useful to actually engage the portfolio committees on this in a session on the phone. Because then we could actually present the work that's been done in this regard, particularly in relation to supply and demand at the national level, and then supply and demand in relation to each province, because we've done it in relation to that. And we've even tried to dig into supply and demand in terms of aid and funding specialization in each province. And I think that will be implemented. It is actually pointing the way in which we need to strengthen what has been across the country in terms of the supply of teachers. The data on Eastern Cape, though, I have a sense may be incorrect. Certainly, many more teachers than teachers are produced each year in the Eastern Cape. There are four universities in the Eastern Cape. So also Sasuri University, University of Fort Hare, Rhodes University, Nelson Mandela, and Sapphoris University. And no doubt Mandela produces more than 82 there. Here's a big issue in the Eastern Cape around teacher uptake, and some of that is related to that. So why are we taking teachers more successfully up in certain provinces than in others? And there are certainly serious blockages in the Eastern Cape. In relation to protected temporary teachers and a whole range of other sectors that need to be worked on. The second study, I think, is a really useful study and has pointed to deficiencies that exist in teacher knowledge. It's been one of the reasons why we strengthened the policies around teacher qualification to have a much bigger focus on teacher knowledge and practice. We must understand that the majority of teachers in the system at present are teachers that have come through the previous system. The number of teachers that have come through universities are still in a small minority. There's huge work to be done in terms of capacity development. And Deputy Minister Sophie has pointed to the CPD, the Continuing Professional Development Program, that the country has been involved in. That might be a whole other area of presentation that's going to engage in terms of showing what's being done there. What's also useful about the second study, though, in that set of teachers, it also compared the teachers coming out of universities versus the teachers that came from colleges. And what that second study showed is that the teachers coming out of universities actually do have a stronger content reach in mathematics and in English than the teachers that came out of the colleges. The younger teachers are coming out with stronger content knowledge. Whether the content knowledge translates into good practice is another question that you have to interrogate. And think about it. Certainly, there is strong knowledge coming out in terms of the new teachers.
Sorry, can I just... my question hasn't been answered, so if I can just maybe rephrase this for our colleague to answer. I just asked a very specific question, which was what is being done to make sure that teachers can actually teach when they leave the system, leave your system?
I was coming to the question that I'm going to be answering in the ground standards.
I don't think we can allow all the responses. I'll then ask you to follow up questions. Is that okay with the honourable members? But we don't disrupt the responses. You may proceed.
Okay, so there's certainly an issue of continuing professional development that has to happen. The issue really is related to issues I'm having now. So universities produce teachers, these teachers write exams, they exit the system as graduates. We don't have in place in present a mechanism to assess them at the beginning level, to assess them at the intermediate level, and to assess them at the advanced level. And that's why what I was pointing to earlier in the presentation. The issue of setting standards that understand clearly what a beginning teacher needs to be capable of. That universities can develop their teachers to meet, and that testing can happen in relation to that. There are standards that are needed around the intermediate level, and there are standards that are needed around the advanced level. Now, the idea, and these are still very much work in progress, systems that we need to put in place. The idea is that we have an induction program that is at least a year long, but that supports teachers to make sense of classroom life, utilizing that induction a year to develop and address any gaps that might be in place in terms of the practicality of the process. And link that is actually to professional registration as a teacher through some kind of competency testing at the end of the induction year. So registration does not become an automatic thing on receipt of degree, you are registered professionally as a teacher. You pass through a process and you become provisionally registered as you graduate, but permanently registered as you make success of an induction process and an assessment attached to that. The assessment, whether it be a paper-based assessment or portfolio assessment, would be issues that we are going to be curating as we went along. But in terms of that, there's also the idea of retaining your registration. So you don't get registration permanently and forever. You retain your registration based on showing that you've upped yourself in terms of continued professional development and that your performance in the classroom in terms of how you're based teaching and learning is improving as you go along and as you develop. So certainly at present, there are no systems in place around teacher testing, but strong moves towards putting those systems in place. I think that's the criteria to become a teacher, I think that's an important
point. As long as we can be short to the point.
And I think there were three people that actually pointed to that one. At present, and because we have had a difficulty in attracting new teachers, there hasn't been any other requirements to become a teacher except that you have an entrance bachelor degree pass. And you therefore have access to a Bachelor of Education Studies. However, if you look at the presentation, if you read the presentation, you'll see right at the end I pointed to research and processes that you've been mediating as part of the new program. One of them is around understanding admission requirements and understanding how we need to further beyond just an academic requirement to other requirements that are more tacit in nature. So for example, your attitude, your disposition, and your desire to become a teacher. How do we assess that at the admission level so that we admit teachers or students who are likely to become the kind of teachers we need? So not teaching the academic requirements, you certainly mean that you want high achievers to become teachers, but in addition to that, we want people who have a strong desire and attitude and will to become teachers, to actually do so. So I think the outcome of that process, and we'll see movement on that in the next few years, the outcome of that process will be a more standard way across the system of admitting teacher education students into university programs, based both on an academic disposition as well as on attitude and other factors.
Well, I'm sure you understand the meaning of that bill, says we must get ready to move to Parliament City. But well, I will allow you, if there are any top-ups, and if you can be short and to the point, we are already late for the parliamentary session.
Thank you, Anoche. I'm going to ask the two colleagues to also assist here, but just to say that two of the questions that I've noted are based on the continuous professional teaching development, which as the previous speaker said, we would probably require a dedicated session to deal with that and other outstanding matters related to Michelle's teaching education as well. But I'm going to ask Ms. Burkett to talk about that.
Pretty briefly, I am of the view that a new policy on teacher education will be addressing many of the issues that in the past few years. The policy places practice in the centre. And I believe that the new qualifications coming forward now will indeed strengthen teacher education considerably. That's the first point. Secondly, we as universities must also take the criticism that some of our universities do not, maybe, perform as well as they should. There is unevenness in the system in terms of teacher education. But our request would be when these issues come to the fore that they are reported. In other words, that they are brought forward, for instance, to the Council for Higher Education so that the specific issues in specific universities can be addressed. So if one makes generalized comments about teacher education at universities, it's very difficult to understand what exactly the issues are. So it is a joint responsibility of everyone involved to pinpoint the issues so that those issues can be addressed. And then very briefly about teaching practice and the place of our teachers in schools. There are two very important initiatives that form part of the National Teacher Education Development Committee's work. And the one is the establishment of teaching practice schools in the country. And the other one is the establishment of teaching schools in the country. Now, I would take a long time to explain what it means, but briefly that there will be dedicated schools in the future that their students can be placed where there is really good practice. What is the issue at the moment? We simply don't have enough schools where there is strong mentoring that could take place for our teachers. Now, there's often the view that young teachers need more time in school. Yes, they need more time in good schools. To place students into schools where there's no proper monitoring and no proper support means we are wasting everybody's time. That is the one issue. Then another issue that higher education institutions are struggling with, including my own institution, I don't think we are doing well enough in terms of monitoring our students when we place them in schools. But the issue is that teaching practice is not being funded. And it is very difficult for us to have the teachers to go to schools, the funding available to support them, and the funding available for our students. So this is an issue that we have pinpointed many times as an issue in higher education, that we need teaching practice to be funded.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid I have to, we have something, I think we have to 5 minutes, but also we have to close the meeting appropriately.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just around the decline in Punjabi-Shakra basic funding, I think it's a very important point. Although there's an annual estimation in the funding based on the inflation rate, the increase in tuition fees, accommodation, books, etc., goes far beyond that increase that we receive from National Treasury. That is the reason for the decline. We are therefore also very encouraged and glad about the decision around a 0% increase, because it means that in the short term we will be able to maintain our recruitment at least at the same level or a bit more in the following year. And then just to explain very quickly the slide on foundation phase and indigenous languages. First of all, it's important to note that that is specific to Funza Lushaka Bursary program. It is not in general, it is statistics specifically for the Funza Lushaka Bursary program, and it relates to the number of graduates in the foundation phase in those particular languages that has been reflected. And in the Funza Lushaka Bursary program over the last 3 years, there has been one standard trend, and that is that we've been awarding bursaries to Afrikaans and English speaking consistently in the majority. And if the department is implementing the introduction of incremental African languages, we need to use a bursary program to try and increase the pool of African languages that is being produced. And then also just indicate that doesn't mean that on a provincial and district level, there is an exclusion of Afrikaans and English. That is why we have the disaggregated group system. So that, for example, if the Northern Cape is saying to us, or another province is saying to us, that we need Afrikaans teachers in a particular grade and in a particular phase, then they are allowed to recruit with the disaggregated recruitment program in that area, and Funza Lushaka will be funding. But from a national level, we're just sending out the message that we want to increase more on the indigenous African languages.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I'm just going to close, just because I think that there are some members of my concerns at the end of the meeting. The issue here of the extension. Oh, I thought you were giving me a chance to do that. Okay, I will keep it very short. The issue around the numbers that we have and that we are able to provide sufficient response to that, we can provide in writing. But we just want to indicate that the questions that we heard to insert the training program, as well as what we are doing to ensure quality over time, those things are responses that we can provide in writing. But we also need to provide that by the issue of the particular agenda
which is why this particular presentation has focused solely on the initial teacher education program and not in specific detail to the quality collaborations that we have with various stakeholders to enhance quality in terms of the point I made about professionalization as well as the quality enhancement referred to by Dr. Dean. Also just to say in closure that we are also collaborating with international partners, and so the EU donor is a huge contribution to our work that we're doing in both departments, and so there's some very interesting research and preparation towards that program which has already been done and has been led by the Department of Higher Education Training. So hopefully there will be future opportunities for us to share that information with us. Thanks very much.
As we close this meeting, I would like to round up by making the following observations. I'd like to thank the Honorable Members and yourselves for the meaningful and constructive engagement. But to the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education and Training and your team, indeed in our engagement it has become clear that we need to consider a follow-up meeting so that we can attend to all the issues raised. Members satisfy themselves in terms of information gathering, information that will help them to do an effective oversight function. But for all those questions that you still have there, Honorable Member, I would also propose that we submit those questions in writing for written responses, because we really want those questions responded to. That's our work as a committee. Okay, and then let's thank the presenters for the information sharing and the interesting engagement between ourselves. I'd also like to thank the chairperson for inviting the department to this joint meeting. I must say that this joint meeting has helped in giving fresh insight in this matter and will assist us also to make sure that there is effective oversight function over this area of work. And presently, we have learned about 23 universities that are providing initial teacher education. And the fact that in order to achieve quality education, the initial teacher education qualifications have been upgraded to a graduate career. That gives us hope, because it says indeed we will be able to achieve in terms of quality initial education. Because that is what is needed. But also, we are encouraged by the involvement of 21 universities in the foundation-based teacher education and the continuous training. All those are giving us hope, because it says the teachers who are already in the field must then benefit or tap from this knowledge of the coming continuous training, because they're already out there. So they must upgrade themselves by teachers and teachers. And then, the collaboration by various stakeholders is also appreciated, because the department alone, I don't see it succeeding in doing all the work. The collaboration that I'm talking about is inclusive of your CHE, DBE, DHET, private higher education institutions, the four that are involved, and the education in forum. What I would like to add, if we had our chair, I know this one is a growth time, is that we add in the modus operandi of the education is for a monitoring and evaluation of universities that are implementing this program. Because remember, you are at the same level, so you're able to talk with the same level, you're able to check and to find holes, and you're able to also assist with recommendations to strengthen. So those universities continue to give quality training as it is envisaged. Okay? And then I must thank the Department of Education, Higher Education Training for funding this program and policy development, also to set to the policy get reduced time and again, with the association can also be given. And the HRV at university. And we recommend that the department also strengthen its monitoring and evaluation unit so that they can be able to do the effective oversight over this area of work. I'm saying this because might we have all this, we still get people complaining about the quality education at that level, you know, at the initial stage of education. Actually, at the secondary level, they're struggling for the final students who cannot read and write.
Can you imagine? Now they've got to start there instead of taking these children from where they are in terms of education knowledge to another level. But they must start by teaching them to read and write again. It's a waste to me. So if you can, I think you can strengthen your monitoring and evaluation, we will appreciate because we need that as soon as possible. The foundation stays very, very, very important. And it will also assist us to deal with students who will be admitted at Tibet colleges because of the same problem. Students who cannot be admitted at universities because of the same problem. So we really need strengthening of monitoring and evaluation in the implementation of this program. So the DBE recruitment, if you can recruit from these universities, from these people who have the qualifications, your degree and your postgraduate certificate in education, you said there were 4,000, plus minus 4,000 who are on their fourth, I think almost on their final stage of training, all right? 4,000 says we are on their final stage of training. 18,000. So we have the personnel. What I think will be key is to make sure that these are absorbed because they're bringing in quality training and quality. We can be assured of quality education at the foundation stage. So if we can start learning for them, on the Funza Belarus, it is clear that you need to approach private sector for partnerships so that there can be an increase in this business, so we like continuation of promotion of this business. But these few words, I really would like to thank all of you for your certification. I don't know for my project, if I can, I don't know.
Thank you,
I think that my concept has really captured all that needed to be captured. And without spending a waste of time and knowing that we have respected members, I think that we must really take this opportunity to thank the colleagues for having, you know, prepared such a very insightful presentation. And I hope that next time when we do our follow-up meeting, we will be able to fine-tune our, you know, engagement in such a way that they are able to be on point and we are not, you know, really catching on things that are sort of peripheral. So thank you very much, colleagues, even the stakeholders. Can we discuss the meeting? The meeting is adjourned.